This program has been produced in collaboration with the Italian Film Commissions Association, thanks to the support of the Italian Trade Agency. Fred Film Radio, from the 76th Venice International Film Festival, Italy.
Angela Cerbi, Fred Film Radio from the Venice Festival. I'm here with Francine Ravne, Project Manager on Eurimage, specialized in gender equality, and also founder of the European Women's Audiovisual Network. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
As you can imagine, the issue of our conversation will be, the topic of our conversation will be gender equality, of course. Also because there was a big conference, big panel today.
Yeah.
At the Chelsea Hotel in the realm of the Venice Film Market, mm-hmm. Venice Production Bridge. So how was the panel?
Actually, it was a completely impressive event. In fact, it's a landmark event because it follows the charter that was signed by the festival last year, the festival with the Biennale and the two women's associations, WIFT Italy and also Di Senso Comune. And in that charter from last year, they agreed to share statistics and have an annual conference. So this is a first annual conference. So it's a landmark. And it was really almost overwhelming in terms of the information we received, mm-hmm. in terms of information both from the Biennale, from the different organisations who were there. Then we had a really quite complex panel as well with amazing experienced people, including Mary Harron, the director, and also Jan Chapman, the producer. So that was great. Mm-hmm. And so it was a really sort of enriching experience and a really nice in talks with the director, Susanna Nicchiarelli. So, in fact, it was probably almost too ambitious, but it was great.
So why did you say too ambitious? Nothing.
Well, it was quite a long conference in a busy festival, but actually it was really good to have all of that information out there. So I'm really happy, even if some people only stayed for part. It was just a great event. So
the outcome of this conference were like many. Mm. On different levels. So we get to know about Susanna Nicchiarelli Odyssey to do Nico, which we already know as Italians, but everybody needs to know how difficult it was for this woman to make this great movie. And we talk about what you say, Mary Harron and the other producers and directors. But there was also a part, there was a very kind of statistics, pure
yes.
statistics. It's numbers, not very funny to hear, but very interesting to know. How do you think this landmark meeting as today can help the industry to go forward on this issue? Because this is a great issue, a big issue, very controversial. Gender equality in film industry, and being in Venice, we know it's very controversial, much more than anywhere else.
I'm going to go back in time a little bit to 2012 when we set up the European Women's Audiovisual Network. And a lot of people said, Francine, why on earth are you setting up this Women's Audiovisual Network? The situation is getting better and better for women the whole time. So it was clear to me the first thing that I needed to do within that network was to get data and statistics. So we did quite a big piece of research called Where Are the Female Directors in European Films? It looked at 7 countries, including Italy. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time that we actually had on paper the reality of the situation.
How difficult it was to get the information?
It was a labour of love. It was 4 universities were involved with it, 7 countries, 6 film funds, research institutes, a shoestring budget. It was a labour of love, but we made it through, and it's a 400-page study available on the internet on the European Women's Audiovisual Network's website. But what's interesting, especially about that research, was it gave statistics. So people could no longer say, oh, it's getting better and better, it's okay. Actually, it was a proof that things were really quite bad. And in France, a country where maybe we're at 25% share for female directors, the situation was the same 20 years ago, and yet there are more students at film school. So actually, the situation wasn't getting any better. It was exactly the same. UK was more around 10% share for female directors, mm-hmm. the same as in Italy. So this really proved that there was a problem. And what this data allowed us to do was to really make people be aware there was an issue. Because I think when you're confronted with the reality of a situation by having the data out there, you're suddenly shocked. You're shocked into being awake. And I think that today's conference did that a little bit because data was coming at all directions, maybe too much, but from Italy, from the Biennale, at pan-European level, back to Italy again. What did it show? it showed that there was a real problem in terms of women's presence in the industry. There was a real problem in terms of parity, problems in terms of pay gap. And so nobody faced with that avalanche of data could remain neutral. Mm-hmm. It makes you think. So I think that's really powerful. And I think the conference, what people will take away from this conference, once they get away from all the actual details, is the reality of the picture that there is an issue here that needs to be addressed. And this can be addressed as well by a festival, by the Biennale, in conjunction with organisations like Cure Image, like Women in Film and TV Italy. So it's really nice to have the sensation that the awareness raising that came through the conference today will be remembered, and I feel proud.
I'm really happy for you and for us, because actually it was really interesting, and as you said, was opening new scenarios in our minds that we didn't know and we didn't think about actually. But the main issue about gender equality in cinema is, in the film industry lately, has been focusing only on how many female directors are in festivals. But I think that the issue is much bigger and larger than that, of course, you know, because the problem is not how many. For me, I think you don't have to focus on the final product. We have to go back at the beginning of the chain. Otherwise, there would be no improvement. Mm. And as you know better than me, I believe, there were like huge discussion about the quotas, on not having the quotas and just having the quotas. So what is your feeling about this? Being a woman, but not because you're a woman, because you're an insider of the...
Two main things to say. So one of them, going back to that EVA research report all those years ago, I think we released it in 2016 now in the Berlinale, mm-hmm. there were three key conclusions, but one of those three key conclusions I like to quote a lot was all about education. Education already at primary school, secondary school level. When you're defining yourself as an individual, you have to believe that you can do anything, not be pigeonholed. And that came out of this conference as well. It was repeated again today. It's to do with how society constructs you as an individual, as a human being. And for me, it's very important that at the youngest age, you realize, girl, boy, however you identify yourself, that you're free to do whatever you want and you can do whatever you want. And I think that's important. And if you can dream to be a filmmaker, then it's really important to be able to do that. But you have to believe that's possible. Something that doesn't often get remarked as well, but it was remarked today by Mary Hannon, which I liked as well. She talked about the age element as well. There's kind of one of the things we saw in the statistics from this panel this afternoon was that actually things are looking pretty rosy for the young filmmakers out there in terms of parity, in terms of changes. Then there's a middle like path between 40 to 60 where it's like not great but not terrible. Then over 60, women kind of drop off the radar. Mm. And I think ageism is another issue as well. And that's all to do with how we, how you see a woman at different stages in their lives as well. And not just off screen, but also on screen. Mm-hmm. Something that Susanna Nicchiarelli mentioned, which I thought was good for her to flag up, because we did a small study within Cure Image privately on this, but it was a really frustrating factor, which is that even if it's not written on the script, often when you have a couple, you'll have the actor who's in his 40s or 50s and the actress who's in the relationship in the 20s or 30s. And that's seen as the norm. Mm. Now, if you always see that as the norm, it's as though women over 40 drop off the radar, which is ridiculous. And Susanna Nicchiarelli especially stressed that women over 40, it's a time when you're fulfilled in your career, you're a strong person. But if girls or young women don't have those models to see, and men as well to see those models, then it's easy to perpetuate stereotypes in the reality as well. So film is a really powerful vehicle to change hearts and minds. Mm. And so that's why that element is so important.
Yeah, I totally agree. Stereotypes are evil, actually. Really evil, because, you know, I was discussing with friends and colleagues. They were saying that they'd rather... They were happy that Greta Gerwig was nominated for an Oscar because she was doing feminine movies, which is the worst thing to say, because this means that you cannot do anything. If you're a woman, you cannot do romantic comedy. You cannot do an action movie film. You cannot do like a war movie. And a war movie won an Oscar.
Yeah, Hurt Locker, hey.
Exactly. So please.
Oh my gosh.
And this was said by persons that are not narrow-minded, of course. I mean, people that see a lot of films. But it's as you say, it's a social education issue.
Yeah, and also the unconscious bias. We talk about unconscious bias a lot, but I think unconscious bias is pretty important because a lot of people don't realize about the unconscious bias that they contain in themselves. So unconscious bias is the types of prejudices that you've incorporated throughout your life, and you don't realize you even got them. And it can be really interesting to see. It can be about what a woman is, what a man is. It's really about these really unfortunate prejudice, what qualities as well. Can I tell you the anecdote about the Boston Symphony Orchestra? Do you know this already?
No, I don't know.
This is a really cool cool example of unconscious bias. So they were wondering why there weren't more women in the orchestra. And so what they did, they had a blind audition and they put a curtain there. And then the women came in, did their auditions, and the men came in, and still there were far more men than women. And then they had a thought. They thought, what if we put carpet down instead of the floor? Because they'd heard when women were coming in mainly, high heels coming in. They put a carpet down as well as a curtain. It was 50-50. That is unconscious bias.
Yeah.
That's when you make a decision that you think is based on quality or genius or whatever, but you're unconsciously biased against someone else. Mm. And as many people said today as well, what does genius look like? Well, a lot of people think that genius looks like the young guy who's really talented, I mean, the next Woody Allen, you know. So there's a kind of, even with women and men, that unconscious bias is innate. And actually within Euromash, we brought an unconscious bias trainer to one of our meetings. And it was a very powerful example of training, not least because she explained to us that by 7 years old, a child already has a lot of unconscious biases ingrained in their minds.
Yeah.
So that's really, that's why education is so important.
And do you think that this unconscious bias also works for selecting workers in the film industry besides, I mean, not under the creative side, but under like the production side? Because, you know, all women are hairdressers or I don't know, set designer, but you don't find women that are DOP or technician or editors and stuff. So, I mean, all you find, but it's more rare.
I think it's linked also to networking. I remember a girl in London who's a gaffer.
Uh-huh.
She's really petite. She's black Canadian, and she could not get work. And it was only when I connected her with a friend who's a producer that she finally got a job, and she was being discriminated against. But I think it wasn't only because she looked petite and she didn't fit the bill. Mm. She wasn't in the right networks. And that's why the networking factor is so important as well, because you have this, what people often talk about is that there's a tendency to hire those people who look like you or who seem like you.
Mm.
So that it's really important to take yourself out of that comfort zone and recruit those people, and they're out there. Now, actually, Euromaj is tackling that in two ways. Even though we come right at the end in terms of gap financing, we're at the end of the food chain, we still have some soft measures as part of our gender equality strategy, aiming for 50-50 by 2020. And one of the things we're doing is keeping an eye on statistics in the projects which are eligible for support from Euromaj and which get support from Euromaj. And it's not just for director and producer, but also for editor, DOP, lots of different roles as well. Mm-hmm. So we're monitoring the first, second, third role. We're monitoring those the gender in all of those areas. And then we also do giving massive visibility to women in the industry, making sure that those in the industry are not forgotten. So I give you an example. Sometimes they'll say, for example, oh, in Croatia, there aren't any female directors who are very talented or female producers who are talented. And to counter that, the Croatian Audiovisual Centre produced a really nice booklet with information about women in the industry, and they were available for work. And what we do within Eurimaj now is we actually interview those women who get support from the fund to give them visibility. And that's been a really great awareness-raising tool, that there are lots of women out there as well. So that's been really powerful. So it's about raising awareness.
Yeah. It's. But do you think that also the... somebody today in the conference said that people hire, as you said, somebody that looks like him. and give money to somebody that looks at him as well. So it's very difficult for a woman to get the same funding that a male producer or male director can get in this industry. How can we overcome that? In the short time, of course, because we need to solve it.
Okay, I think there are two things to say to that. One of them, you can do targeted training courses, because women culturally, since they've been very young girls, they've not been taught to be quite so pushy and demanding for the money. And for guys, it's more of a natural thing to ask for that extra money. And I think, and that's a huge generalization, but there's some truth in it when it comes to negotiation. A lot of women will work for free to try, and they feel grateful to be somewhere. Not many guys are always willing to work for free. They want to be paid. Where's my paycheck? What's happening? So I'm actually thinking that we need more training specifically empowering women to learn to negotiate. And also it's about standing up for your rights. Now, when you stand up for your rights as a woman, you can be labelled difficult. And what you have to do is realise that being labelled difficult is not a problem. It just means that the person who's calling you difficult hasn't understood that you're just standing up for your rights as a woman. So I think it's about calling it out constantly. And I don't feel we're there yet. I mean, right now, it's a constant battle for recognition, for pay recognition, etc. I think in the States, where they're trying to do more, especially in California, more legislation for equal pay, I think that's brilliant. Mm. At pan-European level, we're definitely not there yet.
If you hire somebody in a crew, in Italy, for example, the paycheck for every single department is the same, whether you're a woman or a woman, you're not paid less. Mm. But it's more on the over the line issue,
yeah,
I think, completely. Than under the line.
Yeah,
issue.
No, completely. But I mean, we saw definitely that even in other areas of the industry, it's easy to underpay the woman. I mean, it's just or to expect them to do more, or you know, and they're not just doing the role of working, but then what about the childcare and who is doing all of those issues. Come into play,
and we go back to the education issue we were talking at the beginning.
I'm really, really fortunate, and this is something I'm always grateful for, that I went to a girls' school in the north of England, where I was taught from 11 to 16 that women were just as good as men and we could do whatever we wanted to. And out of my year, everybody went on to do pretty much great things. Some are judges, some are brain surgeons. We all had that self-belief. Now, that meant that as I went on to go to Oxford University, and when I was there from 1992 to 1996, it was pretty sexist, I can say that. But I still had been taught at a very young age to believe in myself and to believe in my own ability, and that education has been instrumental even nowadays. I mean, it's vital all through life.
It stays with you forever.
So I think education is something that can really make a huge difference. One other thing to say with that is also, when you see on-screen representation of a strong woman who's made it, who's done different things, it then inspires young girls as well. I can be that person. So I think that's really powerful and important.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And we hope that next time we're going to meet, we have further improvements on this issue and this big issue that film industry is facing all over the world, not only in Europe. So thanks a lot to Francine Ravenet. Thank you so much. Project Manager at Euromerge and founder of the European Women's Audiovisual Network. I'm Angela Cherubi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
This program has been produced in collaboration with the Italian Film Commissions Association, thanks to the support of the Italian Trade Agency.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.